I want to talk to you tonight just for a little bit about the timing, about timing. If you've ever put a motor together, you know that if the timing isn't right, it ain't going to run. Amen? God, in God's timing, God has a time and a place and a purpose for everything. And my message title tonight is God's Timing. And I believe that God has a set time. There's such a thing as Kairos time. And Kairos time is a time that has been ordained and appointed by God. A moment in time that God has set in action. And I believe that as His children, as His kids, we should be able to and be ready to and be aware of those moments where the timing of the Lord just happens. Amen? Things begin to just flow and things begin to just come together because it's the timing of the Lord. Timing is everything. And when we ask ourselves, I remember we ask ourselves questions like this, like, when is the perfect time to pop the big question? When's that perfect time? How about, when is Dad going to be most likely to say yes to me to borrow the car? If you were one of my kids, it was rare. Seldom. Should I ask right when he gets home from work, or should I wait till he's relaxed and had supper and a shower? When is the right time? Everything we do in this church, I think, should be birthed in prayer. I know our building has been birthed in prayer. I know this property that we're sitting on has been birthed in prayer. I know that things that are taking place have been birthed in prayer. But I don't think that we can let up on the prayer. Amen. I think we need to continue to go before the Lord. We need to understand that God answers prayer in His way and in His own time. Anybody ever got tired of waiting on God? You can be honest. He has a plan and a time and a purpose for everything. We if we want to have our prayers answered, church, we must be open to what God can do in impossible situations. God works really, really well in impossible situations. In the story that we're about to read, God worked in an impossible situation. We're talking about Elizabeth's barrenness to bring about the fulfillment of all prophecies that were concerning the Messiah. And I'm telling you that God has He hasn't forgot about you. He hasn't forgot about your prayers. He hasn't forgotten about your children. He hasn't forgotten about your loved ones that you've been praying about, that you've been seeking God for. And on the outside, it looks like they're just running amok. Looks like nothing's beginning to change. Looks like nothing is happening in the spiritual realm. I'm telling you, if you'll just hang on. If you'll just hang on, the timing of the Lord will come to fruition. You got to be open to what God can do in impossible situations. Just as a side note, think about the Joshua. Think about Joshua leading. I mean, he's just taken over, right? He's just taken over the leadership of the nation of Israel. His first job is to go in and to possess the inheritance that has been given to them. After 40 years of wandering through the desert, and they go in and they cross the river, and if you follow along the biblical story, if you follow everything that took place, you know that they divided up the land, and now God is beginning to put back in order the things that had gotten out of order while they were walking around in the desert. And the first thing that he says is, listen, we need to restore the rite of circumcision in the people, in the fighting men. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to cross the river, which was a challenge in itself, right? Because the river's flooding and there's all kinds of this going on. And the waters part, they go across the river. They get on the other side of the river. And the first thing that Joshua says to his army is, hey guys, guess what? We're going to circumcise you. Really? Do you see? It's talking about faith, and it's talking about putting our trust in God, because, you know, it's one thing to get circumcised on the other side of the river, where at least we have that buffer between the enemy and us is the river, and at least we have some time maybe to heal up. God said, no, we're going to cross the river, then we're going to circumcise you in the presence of your enemy. So they go through that whole thing. The next thing that he does is they go to Jericho. This is Joshua. We're talking about Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. What does it say? Anybody know what Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says? Anybody? One of my favorite verses. Only be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for I'm with you. I'm telling you, man. And so Joshua now is the new leader. He's leading the army of Israel, the children of Israel, into the promised land. Here's how we're going to take the city of Jericho. We're going to walk around the thing 6 days. Boy, you've been in the sun too long. Do you see what I'm saying? It's God doing impossible things in His time. Listen, they did exactly what He said. And what did God do in response? The walls of Jericho came down. They defeated the army. It's just an amazing thing. God's Bible is full of great stories like that. If we'll just get in there. I want to go to the New Testament, the book of Luke. Because I get sidetracked. Luke chapter 1, church. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Lots of Bible tonight. Lots of Bible. Bring your Bibles. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5 through verse 17. Here's what it says. You could stand with me if you'd like. That'd be awesome. We'll read God's Word. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Remember this morning when we were talking about Job, that he was blameless and that he was upright before God? Here's two more people that are in the same category. They were righteous before God, verse 6, and walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, but they had no child because Elizabeth, verse 7, was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the throne of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him and in the power and spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Listen, I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be anywhere near the caliber of these guys. But I do believe, as you're seated, that God has given me, as pastor, this mandate that part of what I do is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen? So, while Zacharias had been burning incense on the altar, he'd also been praying most likely for the deliverance of Israel and for the coming of the Messiah. The angel's awesome words must have astounded him. Your prayer has been heard. How many of you would like to know that? How many would like, you've been praying about something and the angel of the Lord just, listen, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now listen. That troubled me a little bit when I first read that. And so I looked it up and I began to study it out. And when it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him, it was not in a dream. He wasn't in a trance. It wasn't in some fog. It was like, bam, he's standing right there. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but what I've read about the archangels, they're big. Amen? I mean, when you're in a battle, they're the guys you want on your side. Because they're big. And all of a sudden, he just shows up on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. No kidding. It's a wonder he was able to even stay in the same county. He probably didn't have counties, but that's beside the point. But this angel says, listen, your prayer has been heard. And the angel made a seemingly unrelated statement, and he says this, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And the angel even told Zacharias, this is what you're going to name the baby. John means the Lord is gracious. Amen? The Lord is gracious. Any John? Anybody named John in here tonight? That's a good name to have. Sometimes? All right. My name is Shane, and Shane is a derivative of the name John. Bam! Hey! The Lord is gracious, I can tell you this much. He's been gracious to me. He has been gracious to me. And through the birth of this son, God was gracious to Zacharias and Elizabeth and ultimately to all the people, for this son would prepare people's hearts for the Messiah. The role that John was to play was to be almost identical to that of an Old Testament prophet, to encourage people to turn away from sin and back to the Lord their God. That's my job. Can I just tell you something? That's your job. Your job is to compel people, to take God's word to people. The angel also went on to explain to Zechariah that John would go before God in the spirit and the power of Elijah. How many of you know Elijah was a man filled with the spirit and the power of Almighty God? I mean, Elijah was that guy. He was a great prophet. He was known for not mincing words, and he stood up to evil rulers. In preparing people for the Messiah's arrival, John would in fact turn people's hearts. In effect, he would be doing, as it were, heart transplants. And through John's words, God would take the stony heart and exchange them for hearts that were soft and pliable and trusting and open to change. Can I tell you something? That there's a lot of us that have been hurt. A lot of folks have been hurt. And our heart has become hardened and it has become callous and has become almost impenetrable. And God wants to take that stony heart out, that calloused heart, and He wants to begin to peel that stuff off. And He wants to have revealed this pliable, soft heart that He can work with. John's mission also would be to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness. See, the first part of this phrase comes directly from the prophecy of the Messiah's forerunner found in Malachi chapter 4, back in the Old Testament. If you go to Matthew and go backwards to the left, one more book, chapter 4, you'll read this. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Listen, when Malachi was one of the last prophets, he was the last prophet of the Old Testament, and when he died, the voice of the prophets of God would be silent for 400 years. That's a long time, church. Then this prophet would come, like Elijah, to herald the coming of the Lord. And this prophet was, in fact, John the Baptist. And John went on to prepare people's hearts for Jesus by urging people to repent of their sins. That was his cry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The coming of the Lord would do then as we pray that it does now, and bring peace and bring unity. Everybody likes peace and unity, but it doesn't stop there. It also brings judgment on those who refuse to turn from their sins. Those who listen to and obey John's message would in fact become a people prepared for the Lord. That's the plan. That's the purpose of this church, is to prepare people to be ready to meet the Lord should He come right now. Go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 57. Whole bunch more scripture. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by his father's name, Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who's called by this name." So they made signs to his father, and he would have, as to what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled, and immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. And then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that they should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord and prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. This section, Luke returns to the story of John's birth. Zechariah has changed. You know, he was stricken, speechless. He couldn't talk because he doubted. Amen. But when he became obedient, as we read there, he became obedient and God restored to him his voice. Zechariah has changed. He no longer does he face God's miraculous hand in his life with skepticism and unbelief. Instead, he's humbly learned from his past mistakes. Would to God that we would learn from our past mistakes. Amen. He repented of his unbelief and he submitted to God's will. Zechariah demonstrated his obedient attitude to all by obeying the angel's word to name his son John. It's all about obedience. You got to ask yourself this question. Are you being obedient to all that God has asked you to do? Amen. It's not always easy, but it will always be worth it. So his obedience brought unparalleled joy, and because of it, he burst out in a song of praise. And Luke, the author of this gospel, places this Zechariah's song close to Mary's song because throughout this chapter, he has compared the birth of John with the birth of Jesus. They were cousins and he was the forerunner. He was the promised one from David's royal household, the one who would provide salvation for all God's people. And it was John's job to proclaim, to be his forerunner, to go before him and to prepare people's hearts. Zechariah praised God with his first words after months of silence. Zechariah prophesied the coming of a Savior who would redeem his people and predicted his son John would prepare the Messiah's way. All the Old Testament promises are coming true. No wonder Zechariah praised God. The Messiah would come in Zechariah's lifetime and his son would be chosen to pave the way. What an honor. Amen. Can you imagine those guys as kids playing? They were cousins. You know they had to hang out. I wonder what those conversations were like. I bet Jesus had a hard time keeping his mouth shut. I know what you're going to do. Maybe he didn't think that way, but I kind of think that way. I'd be trying to one-up him all the time. Amen? Zechariah's son John would be the one who prepared the way for Jesus, the Lord's anointed, and it is fitting that this chapter ends with a joyous song from Zechariah's lips because the entire chapter speaks of the joy that comes from watching God fulfill His promises. That Bob talked about during the offering, that the different things that have happened, the changes. Man, I don't know why we didn't take photos of this place when we first got it. Because it was bad. It was an absolute mess. This place was full of barrels. It had all kinds of equipment lined this whole wall. There was underneath that baptism, there's actually about a four foot deep hole that's concreted in now where they had another machine. They had machines over that whole back wall back there was lined with machines. Everything in the middle was empty barrels, lids, barrel bungs, buckets, cardboard barrels. It looked like a tornado went through here. There was a forklift in here, a snow blower. Now that the snow's gone, by the way, we still have that. I should have brought it. The things that God has done in this building, this platform, this concrete that was horrible, it looked terrible. Put a little concrete, I don't know what it is, acid or some kind of stain on it, and it don't look that bad. People spill coffee on it, you can't even tell. Which is good. Which is real good. But to just stop and think, and that's why we take a lot of pictures around here, because as this progresses and we move out of this and go over there, this is going to all be torn down, and a lot of people that come will probably never have been in here. Certainly they won't know where it came from, what it began as. They'll just know about that. But when we show pictures of this is where we came from, started up on the hill, then went to the mall, and now we're here. We're not throwing our wealth and our money down the drain paying lease payments. We own this free and clear. And so to see what God is doing and what He's going to do, I'm telling you, it is awesome to watch God fulfill His promises. Amen? It is fantastic. Gabriel spoke of the joy in his appearance to Zechariah. And as a baby in Elizabeth's womb, John expressed that joy. Mary spoke of her joy in her song of praise. And by highlighting the joyous responses of Mary, Zechariah, and others at the beginning of his gospel, Luke is demonstrating to you and I, his readers, the appropriate response to the entire gospel story, the story of Jesus' life. It ought to make us happy. It ought to bring joy. So in addition to believing in Jesus as believers, we should rejoice in the fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus' life, in His death, and in His resurrection. Listen, He didn't just be born in a manger. He also died on an old rugged cross, but He didn't just die. He went in the grave. And He didn't stay in the grave. He come out of the grave in resurrection power. And today He is seated at the right hand of God. You know why? He's interceding for you and I. He is our advocate with the Father. Man, I don't know about you, but I need a good advocate. Amen. I need a good defense attorney. And that's what Jesus' role is in your life and mine. Amen? Amen. Well, I want for us to pray for some specific things. I want to pray for an end. This is a leap of faith. But I want to pray for an end to all this coronavirus stuff. You know the name of this latest Omicron. Well, Omicron needs to remember or understand that our God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. He had three omnis before they had one omni. Amen. And all three of His omnis trump their one omni, I promise you. Amen. So I want to just pray tonight in closing. I want to pray for Kathy. How many of you have needs that you need? God just needs to intervene in some things in your life or in your family. Amen. Well, Father, tonight we have come together and we've worshiped You. We've looked at Your Word. And now, Lord, we pray and we ask God that You would bring healing to people's lives. Lord, this coronavirus is just a problem. I'm not denying the validity of the virus. I just know that You're way greater than that virus could ever be. And so, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of us. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Kathy. And I pray, God, that You would heal her. I pray, God, that her pneumonia, viral pneumonia, would be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive tonight on today on our website to pray for Kathy Young for her back And Lord, right now we pray that you would touch Kathy, that you would raise her up, that you would heal her body. Lord, there are those seated in this place tonight that are seated here. They're here. It's literally like a sacrifice of praise because they're here, but they're hurting just because they're here. And I pray, God, right now that you would heal them, that you would touch them, and that you would set them free from the pain and the infirmity, God, that would wreak havoc on their life and on their physical bodies. Lord, I pray for my friend John Cole in a hospital in Houston, Texas. And I pray, God, that you would raise him up off of that bed. Lord, I pray, God, that you would set his feet to dancing. I pray, God, that the Parkinson's disease would be gone from his life. I pray, God, that coronavirus would be gone from his life. I pray, God, that the tremors and all those things that are associated with his health issues would be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, that the testimony of the healing power of Almighty God would resurrect and rule and reign in John's life. Lord, for those seated in this room tonight that need your physical touch, I pray, God, that you would touch them like only you can touch them. God, some have received a bad report, but Lord, we say, whose report are we going to believe? And we believe the report of the Lord. God, the world would say that there's not enough money in this church to do what we want to do. But it isn't about the money in this church. It's about the money in the kingdom. And my Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he can take them to the sale anytime he wants. And Lord, I believe by faith, God, that you're going to bring revenue into this place, Lord. As we are found to be faithful with the little things, God, you will allow us to be surrounded by bigger things and have those bigger things made available to us. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that we would be faithful with all that you have given to us, Lord. I pray, God, for every person that gives to this ministry. And I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray, God, that you would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they couldn't even contain. God, I pray, Lord, that you would rebuke the devourer. Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would reverse the curse. That you would reverse the curse, Father God. Lord, this area has always had, in my opinion, a poverty mentality. But Lord, I speak against that. I speak against that poverty kind of mentality. We're not poverty. We are king's kids. We are a royal priesthood. We're above and not beneath. I'm not bragging on anything that I have or you have. I'm bragging on what God has, and he's made it available to you and I. Lord, you said that we have the inheritance of the king. So, Lord, I thank you for it. God, I thank you for it. I pray for Kevin tonight, Lord, as he's looking for a place to buy, to a trailer house, anything, Lord, to lay his head down and be warm. I pray, God, that you'd make it happen. Lord, one way or another, God, make it happen. Make it happen, Lord. Father, I pray for our soldiers on foreign soil. God, I pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe. God, that you'd bring them back home to our families, Lord, and restore families once again. Father, I pray for ministry leaders to be raised up in this church, or Lord, that you would bring them in. God, you know my heart is for a choir. God, I pray that you'd bring us a choir director, a piano player. You know what we need, Lord. Send them. Musicians. Singers. God, to glorify you. To worship you. And to praise you. Now, Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every person that's come out tonight in the cold. That have decided that Sunday night is a good thing. God, I think tonight has been a fantastic night of praise and of worship and the Word. So, Lord, watch over us now as we leave this place, as we go to our homes, as we start our new work week, God, that you would watch over your people. Watch over them. Keep them safe, Father. Bring us back together on Wednesday night. Bring us back together, the ladies, on Thursday and the men on Friday. Men's breakfast on Saturday. Church on Sunday. We only have just a few more days, and we'll have church every day of the week right here. Father, we are grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Oh, we got a testimony.
Tammy started this morning when she started talking about prayer up here. Anyway, and then you got started on this, but we've had some prayers answered. I kind of testified to it here a while back. But this one guy we prayed for 35 years, and he finally got saved. And I mean, once that's happened, you're just clear up here like that. I mean, you know, I guess I'm a glory seeker. I can't help it. Well, funny little things happen. Somebody was praying up here today, that little lady back there, and you ask her what she wanted to pray for. What did she say? Everything. I mean, she just come right out and just honestly said everything. And I just about busted out laughing. My wife is one of them people. If God said it, that's settled. You know what you're talking about. So she's had this rug shampooer for 3 or 4 years. She bought this thing brand new. It worked just fine, and then she could never get it to work again. And if there's one thing I hate, it's wash machines, dryers, refrigerators, rug shampooers, vacuums. To me, you don't touch them. Well, she's even had her son look at it and her daughter look at it. Well, a couple of days ago, she went and drugged this thing out again. I come home, and she says, "You'll never believe what happened." Yeah, try it. The rug shampooer works. I said, "Well, how did you get it to work?" She said, "I just prayed till it worked." I mean, here we go from some little simple thing like that and to this guy we prayed 35 years for. I mean, it's just like she said, every little thing. And it just, anyway, it just made a glorious day.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. How many of you were here on New Year's Eve and was with us? I got to share one testimony from that night. I will be talking about this until 2 days after the rapture. There was a little gal and her daughter were sitting right where Mike and them are, and we were. Tammy said, "Well, ask for testimonies." And so I was going around. Different ones were testifying, and these folks are pretty new to our congregation, and. And she goes, "Well, Pastor, I've got a testimony." And I said, "Okay." And she says, "Well, when Hurricane Andrew hit back in Florida, they said that's enough, and they started heading for Oregon. And so they had a U-Haul. It was all loaded up, and I don't know how many vehicles were there or anything about it. But her little boy was 9 years old, and they got to like Idaho, somewhere in Idaho, and she had $35 left in her pocket for gas money in this U-Haul. Now, you know how far $35 is going to go in a U-Haul. Not very far. Anyhow, and so the little boy says, "Well, Mom, I want to pray." And she says, "Oh, okay." And so the little boy prays, and this is what he prayed. He said, "Lord, I pray for an explosion and for a fire in this place so that we don't have to pay for our gas." They're standing outside pouring gas in the truck. Some truck comes flying off the highway, comes flying into place, crashes into it, blows up. The place catches on fire. They pull the gas nozzle out of the truck, hang the thing back up. All the computers in the whole place go down. And they said, "Just don't worry about paying for the gas. Just get out of here." Now, that's radical. That is some radical prayer. But God's not afraid to answer your radical prayers. Amen? I'll tell you what, that blessed my heart. I'll be telling that story forever, I promise. But listen, the faith of a little child. You know, there wasn't anything, I don't think, malicious about the way he prayed. That's just how he was seeing things. And God showed him. Watch this. Boom. Holy cow. Oh, man. Anyway, listen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. And we will see you back here on Wednesday. Amen. God bless you. God go with you.